are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Good morning, Joy Community Church. This is Pastor James, and it's March 29th. And I know that you are comfortable at home and enjoying this Sunday morning with your friends and family. Well, I want to encourage you this morning that I'm going to speak to you about the new normal. And I want to talk to you this morning from John chapter 9, verses 1 to 25. So I'll give you an opportunity to get your Bible out or turn on your Bible app at home, and we'll look at John chapter 9, verses 1 to 25. But before we do that, let's open in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to be together in this whole new way. We thank you, Lord, that you are watching over us, providing for us, protecting us. And we thank you for the week that you've already given us. Lord, we pray today that as we gather around the word, you would inspire us, you would strengthen us, and you would guide us into all truth. We thank you and pray that the anointing of the Spirit of the living God be upon us as we enjoy this time of fellowship in your word. Amen. Again, John chapter 9, verses 1 to 25. As they went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus said, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went, washed, and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who were formerly seeing him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he said himself, he insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went, washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought him to the Pharisees, the man who had been blind. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, nor does he keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner do so much miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." The Jews still did not believe that he was blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age, and he will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He's of age. ask him. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, I was blind and now I see. The new normal. You see, things have been very different over these last few weeks as we experience church together. A few weeks, it's been podcasts, and now we're streaming live. I want to express to you my love, appreciation, and deep concern for each of you. Well, I think it would be good to be vulnerable with you. The truth is, I really miss you. I miss you a lot. I miss your hugs. I miss your smiles. I miss your beautiful children. I miss our times in prayer. I miss the times that we laugh together. I miss your stories. And I miss the times we get to fellowship with one another. I miss that hot cup of coffee and the nice sweets we have every single week. I just miss seeing you and being with you. There's something so alive when we're together as we worship, fellowship, serve together, and as we grow in God's word each week. I kind of understand in a whole new way why the Apostle Paul wrote those warm greetings and opened his books with those beautiful welcoming words. To all the saints in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I offer you that warm welcome today. I say with a whole heart, be blessed, be encouraged, be strengthened in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because as I said a few weeks ago, he is our help, our strength in times of trouble. Similar to the Apostle Paul, I too have this new longing in my heart to be with you. Something that I perhaps haven't experienced in a long, long time. But today, I know I miss you. One of the major changes that has occurred over these last few weeks is you're back at home. Isolation. You're with your family or perhaps alone. You're with children 24/7. You're home doing your work. Probably taking a lot more time than usual. You have a lot more to do because you're indoors and you can't get out and go about your business. So life has really changed for all of us. We can't deny it. So let's be honest. Things are just not the same. And yet, as I reflect upon Joy Community Church's vision, its mission, that hasn't changed. You see, it's the elders and staff's heart to build that bridge into your home, into the hearts of your family. It's our joy to actually help you during this tumultuous time to find hope, find love, and find God in a whole new way. I hope you're upon. I hope you want that for yourselves and your loved ones, as much as we long for it for you. We are more committed than ever to make sure that we connect with you in a personal way. Our elders and staff, we have a weekly plan to make sure that you receive a personal touch. We want to make sure that you have updated information and communication at all times. And we want to make ourselves available to listen, to guide, and to be there in your victories and in your difficulties and in those times where you just can't take anymore. We want to be there for you in a special way. This is a whole new normal that nobody anticipated. So I just want to say a huge thank you for your patience and your flexibility as we navigate through this global pandemic. Because there are so many changes every day on a local level, state level, national level, We're going to need to be flexible. We're going to need to be adaptable. We're going to need to be patient and make the necessary adjustments, which perhaps will define what we consider to be the new normal. Perhaps that's going to change tomorrow. When I look at these verses in chapter 9, I see that Jesus actually provoked a new normal in the blind man's life. It was his intention to cause the blind man to place his trust, to place his belief, and to actually activate his faith and go out on a limb and obey him at his word. It was his desire to personally interact and create this new normal that nobody else was expecting, and neither was he. Since Jesus was the light of the world and is the light of the world, he came to shine his light and reveal the spiritual darkness in this blind man's life. You know, he just didn't do it for a blind man in the book of John. He's doing it for spiritually blind people today. Jesus is more committed today to change the normalness of your life, the normalcy of your life, into a new norm. That's who he is. That's what he does. That's what he's committed, as he is the light of the world. As I thought of Jesus interacting with this blind man, I came to realize that we are challenged. We are challenged when the new normal begins to alter our personal lives. I did send a handout to you this morning, so if you want to, you can go down and actually download that and actually pull that up and begin to fill in the blanks with me if you want to. I'll give you some time to do that. I want to take some time this morning and share some helpful hints that can assist you as you begin to adjust to the new normal that's beginning to alter your life. When I look at these 25 verses, I see that people are challenged to respect others as they experience the new normal in their lives. You see, Jesus' disciples were questioning him about the reason for a certain man's blindness, the reason for his blindness. And they believed that his blindness was the result of sin. And they asked him, was it because of his sin or because of his parents' sin that he was actually born blind? And some Jewish texts of that day taught that the soul of a person could sin in a pre-existent state. Many believed that a baby still in the womb could have feelings and even sinful ones. And in the book of Exodus, it teaches that one's descendants could actually be punished for someone else's sins. The disciples wanted Jesus to resolve the theological issue for them in regard to this blind man. I really appreciate Jesus because he calls them to a higher level. And he says, wait a second, I want you to come to a higher level of honor and respect for others. And he tells his disciples that they're asking the wrong question. He tells them they're looking for someone to blame and informs them that there's no reason to point the finger. You see, when things become new in our lives and there's situations that we didn't invite, we weren't anticipating, some could be of crisis, some abnormal, some just overwhelming, some just detrimental to our very existence, we want to find the reason for why it happened. We want to make sure that we have all the facts and we can align them up so we can actually have a concrete reason for why something occurred. And Jesus is saying, actually, this is something beyond something perhaps you've never thought of before. And the reason is so that God can receive all glory for what's to happen? What's about to happen? And so Jesus is helping the disciples take their next step of faith. We need to be respectful of others as they begin to deal with the new normal in their lives. Are you willing to respect someone who is handling their new normal in a different way than you might? Jesus was challenging his disciples to do that. We're challenged when the new normal begins to alter our personal lives. I see here in verses 6 to 7 that God will use unconventional ways to create the new normal in our lives. There's this story that I found that I believe shows how our journey is made better simply by the change of words. There was this blind boy who sat on the steps of a building with a hat near his feet. He held up a sign which said, "I am blind, please help." There were only a few coins in the hat. A man was walking by. He took a few coins out of his pocket, and then he dropped them into the boy's hat. He then took the sign, he turned the sign around, and he wrote some new words on the back of his sign. He put the sign back in the boy's hands so that everyone who walked by could see the new words on the sign. Soon, the hat began to fill up. A lot more people were giving money to the blind boy. That afternoon, the man who changed the sign came to see how things were. The boy recognized his footsteps and said, "Were you the one who changed my sign this morning? What did you write?" The man said, "I only wrote the truth. I said that you, I said what you said, but in a different way. I wrote, 'Today is a beautiful day, but I cannot see it.'" Both signs told people that the boy was blind, but the first sign simply said the boy was blind. The second sign told people that they were lucky that they were not blind. Should we be surprised that the second sign was more effective? Well, what's the moral of that story? First of all, be thankful for what you have. Be creative. Be innovative. You see, when your new normal begins to affect you, you can also impact it through being grateful, being creative, and being innovative. God chooses to use unconventional ways to create a new normal in our lives. The coronavirus is a new normal in our lives. Jesus here in this story takes spit, puts it in the dust, makes clay, makes a clay paste with his saliva, and then rubbing the paste on the blind man's eyes. He invades his space, wastes no time, sets clear expectations, and requires the blind beggar to invest in bettering his life. I like that about Jesus. You see, Jesus just doesn't come in this situation and do a miracle. He actually invites the blind beggar to participate with him. We know that to be true because he says, "Go. Go to the pool of Siloam and wash." And then the blind man gets up and he goes to the pool and he washes his eyes and he can see perfectly healed. Jesus commands him, and he obeys. You see, there have been several new requests from the officials, the government officials, and the medical professionals. They've asked of us to obey certain regulations. They have new expectations, and they're asking us to follow a set of guidelines that will actually better our lives. Jesus knew that once he put the saliva on his eyes and the salve on his eyes, and if he went and washed in the pool, that he could see. And our officials have given us specific guidelines because they understand what would keep us healthy and safe. Jesus eradicated the beggar's self-identity, his self-worth, and provided a whole new lease on life. he was willing. He was willing to put his trust and belief in Jesus Christ. The blind beggar responds desperately, hopefully, and expectantly. And he receives a miracle. Sometimes we kind of put off unconventional methods when it comes to affecting and directing our lives. But God will use the most unconventional methods to alter our lives. We're often challenged when the new normal begins to alter each day of our lives. When I look at verses 9 and 10, it says, all whoever came before me, I'm in the wrong chapter right now. Let me go back here to verses 8 and 9 in chapter 9. It says, his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself said, I am the man. And now there were, and how were your eyes open? They demanded. And so here we look at this, and we're often caught off guard when others have experienced a new normal in their lives. So if you're filling in the blank this morning, I just said, we are caught off guard when others have experienced a new normal in their lives. Everyone loves the latest news. I mean, I'm sure that you are sitting for your newscast and you want to hear the latest updates on the coronavirus. And you don't want to be excluded from what's going to actually influence and impact your lives or redirect your life. People will saturate themselves with the most updated facts, figures, information, and top stories because they want to be in the know. And that's not unusual. Actually, that word know is mentioned over 10 times in this chapter. People wanted to know things. People wanted things validated. People wanted to be certain. People wanted to make sure somebody wasn't fudging the facts. And so here he is, and he knows what's occurred to him, but they're not quite buying in to this being a miracle yet. The town is buzzing. And neighbors, they believed he was the blind beggar. Others thought he kind of looked like the blind beggar. And many thought this indeed was not the blind beggar. But the blind beggar, he knew that he could see. And we know what actually is happening in this new normal in our lives. We know how it's affecting us. We know what it's doing to our jobs. We know what it's doing to our family. We know what it's doing to our regular lifestyles. We know how this is affecting us on an hour-by-hour daily basis. And even if other people may not believe it, the new normal is affecting us all in different ways. His new normal definitely had impacted his life. Sometimes we're not ready to accept. We're not ready to trust in the new normal of our lives. It's too uncertain. It can be too painful. It could be too devastating. It could even be misleading at times. But Jesus is here to say, I am the light of the world. And my truth, it can pierce through any doubt, any disbelief, or any uncertainty within your life. Just because people aren't willing to embrace your new normal, it doesn't eliminate the significance of what's occurring in your life today. There were two Kentucky farmers who owned racing stables, and they developed a keen rivalry. One spring, each of them entered a horse into the local steeplechase. Thinking that a professional rider might help him undo his friend, one of the farmers engaged a professional jockey. The two horses were leading the race at the last fence, but it proved too tough for them. Both horses fell, unseating their riders. But this calamity did not stop the professional jockey. He quickly remounted and won the race. Returning triumphant to the paddock, the jockey found the farmer who had hired him fuming with rage. "What's the matter?" asked the jockey. "I won, didn't I?" "Oh, yes," roared the farmer. You won all right, but you still don't know, do you?" And he said, "Know what?" "You won the race on the wrong horse. You got on the other guy's horse." Just like the jockey got on the wrong horse, we can come to wrong conclusions and assumptions when we encounter the unexpected. You see, this miracle was unexpected. It wasn't the norm. But this new normal had totally transformed the blind beggar's life. We're challenged when the new normal begins to alter our lives. We see in verses 10 to 12 that we need to remain patient and flexible as we navigate through the new normal of our lives. You see, the crowd was inquisitive. It was unsettled, questioning the authenticity of the miracle. Yet, the blind man's life had radically changed. You see, he would never be the same again. His whole life changed. In one day, in one hour, he was living at the lowest level of society as a beggar, rejected, ostracized, and an outcast. And now he had a new lease on life, and his emotional life had changed. His physical life had changed. His social life would change. His economic life would change. His political life would change. And his religious life would change. Within a second, his total life changed. That was a lot. That was a lot of complexity to deal with all at once. He had to be patient with himself. He wasn't blind anymore. He now could see. I like what Edward Bulwer said. He said, "Patience is not passive. On the contrary, it is active. It is concentrated strength. And it would require a new strength as other people would encounter him that would have nothing to do with him in his past. He would now be brought to the Pharisees and held accountable for this miracle because it was done on the Sabbath day. He actually provides for his neighbors, for his relatives, a play-by-play action of actually what had occurred for the miracle to take place. And he said, "I just did what you told me to do. He rubbed clay on my eyes. He told me to go to the pool of Siloam. I went, I washed my face, and I could see." That's exactly what happened. I want you to take an inventory this week and ask yourself, are there any people or situations that require a new level of patience with yourself as you interact with them? You see, the blind man, the former blind man, had to retell his story over and over and over because of other people's disbelief. Some people won't believe how this crisis, how this situation has actually affected your personal life. Ask the Lord to increase the fruit of patience in your life this week, because we are all challenged when the normal, the new normal, begins to alter our lives. When we look at verses 13 to 25, we see the actual encounter with the Pharisees and the former blind beggar. And we realize that we can place our confidence in Jesus' ability to lead us through the new normal in our lives. Let me just repeat that, because it sounds so simple to do and yet difficult at times. We can place our confidence in Jesus' ability to lead us through the new normal in our lives. One of the things that I see in the 25 verses that I presented this morning is I see this amazing progress, this actual progression of this man's understanding of who Jesus actually is. And in the beginning, he viewed Jesus to be the man. We see that in verse 11. Then we realize that as he's moving along and he's asked, well, who do you say this man is? I think the Pharisees ask him that. He says, I believe he's a prophet. Then as this miracle and as his life begins to unwind and things begin to occur in his day, he then moves to believing that this is a man who is a prophet that actually can be followed if you want to be his disciple. We see that in verse 27. And then we see in verse 33 that he says, this one is one sent from God. That this Jesus, he's not a sinner. This Jesus, he's a miracle worker. And God listens to people who have reverence and obedience and are connected to him and are believers. He actually will respond to them. So he is one sent from God. He is not a sinner. And then we see another progression in his understanding and his confidence of Jesus. You see, each step he takes, his confidence is growing and growing and growing. And that's what happens in these times of stress. That's what happens when we're actually forced to face the new normal in our lives. That's what happens in a tumultuous situation like this, is that we begin to experience Jesus on a whole new level, on a personal level. And our physical lives are changed. Our emotional lives are changed. Our social lives are changed. But it draws us into a personal relationship with Christ that we perhaps have never experienced before. Oh, we might have known him. We might have heard of him. We might have even heard him speak to our hearts. We might have received him as our Lord and Savior. But it's in these times of crisis, it's in these moments that we're pressed against the wall and our lives are challenged, that we begin to have a confidence that our God, Jesus Christ, is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's sitting on the throne and he cannot be moved. And because he cannot be moved, we will be victorious. Say a hearty amen with me this morning, folks, because that's the truth. And that's what we see. We see that in verse 38. If you continue the chapter, where once Jesus comes and Jesus interacts with the formerly blind beggar, he asks him, he says to him, Jesus says to him, he says, do you believe in the Son of Man? Verse 35. And the blind man says, well, who is he, sir? And then he says, tell me. What does he say? Tell me so I can believe. The man has actually been progressing in his confidence. And he's saying, okay, I've experienced this miracle. I've seen what this miracle has done. I've heard what people have said about me, but I'm believing it because I know the physical proof is here. I was blind, but now I see. You can't take that away from me. And there'll be certain circumstances in your new normal that will begin to happen, and you'll experience God at a whole new level. I'm not saying it's going to be a miracle. I pray it will be. But it will be a personal touch. It will be words of encouragement. It will be a fresh revelation of who Jesus Christ is. He will be your provider. He will be your protector. He will be your proven one, because that's who he is. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. That means today, folks. Today. So we see here that Jesus says to him, you now have seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking to you. Jesus is going to be speaking to you. Jesus wants to speak to you. Jesus wants to minister to you through his word, by his spirit. Jesus wants you to take a hold of this truth that you're going to be challenged as you begin, as this new normal begins to unfold and affect and alter your life. But be reassured, he's saying, I am present. I am here. I am living. I am the light of the world. I am truth in the moment of crisis. And I will be present. And I will speak. Then the man asked, Lord, and then the man said in verse 38, then the man said, Lord, I believe. And here's the next step. He worshiped him. I want to encourage you to increase your confidence as you have some time alone. Spend some time worshiping. Spend some time honoring. Spend some time being reverent in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He wants you to place your confidence in him as this new normal begins to alter your life. This new normal certainly had altered this blind beggar's life. He was once blind, but now he sees. He has a whole new lease on life, and now he's worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to encourage you today, Joy Community Church, that despite being challenged because of this new normal in your life, because of how it's impacting your everyday, one thing that cannot be taken away from you is your ability to believe, your ability to trust, and your ability to obey Jesus Christ. Take some time this week and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And declare with me, I once was blind, but now I see. And maybe you're watching this live stream today, and you're hearing me on the podcast, and you're wondering, how can I receive Christ into my life? And you're identifying with that blind beggar. You're saying, Pastor James, I'm spiritually blind. I want to encourage you that Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the life. He is the way. There is no way unto the Father but through the Son, Jesus Christ. You may say, well, Pastor James, what do I need to do to receive Christ in my heart? I want to encourage you first to admit that you need him. I want to ask you to commit in your heart to believe that Jesus came to give his life for you, that he gave his life by dying on the cross to save you from your sins, and that by his precious blood, he cleansed you from all your sins and all your unrighteousness. And you have a responsibility that if you want to remove the spiritual blindness from your life, you need to actually repent of your sin. The word says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And I want you to have that new life that this blind beggar experienced in Jesus Christ. I want you to go this week through the same progression of confidence that this blind beggar went through. And I want you right now to have confidence with me to look into your heart and say, can I actually live this life without Jesus Christ? Can I actually make it through another crisis in my life without Jesus Christ? Oh, you might be able to, but you can't do. You can't do it as well as you could with Jesus Christ. Let me reassure you of that. Bow your heads with me at this moment. I want to pray for you. And I want to give you an opportunity, because the word says, repent. Ye therefore and be converted, that your sins be blotted out, and then the times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. I want you to experience the beauty of the presence of God in your life this week. Bow your heads, won't you, as we have a word of prayer. Father, as we come together, we thank you for this new normal in our lives. If anything, Lord, we have had an opportunity to experience the transforming power of your truth, the transforming power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in our lives as we've come through this crisis together. We ask, Lord God, for those today who need to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, those in this in these tumultuous times who feel all alone, those who need to open their hearts just as the blind beggar did and respond to Jesus Christ touching their heart at this moment. And Lord, just as the blind beggar confessed that he realized that he needed Christ to come into his heart, and he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. I pray for those today who need to believe that they would repent of their sin and receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ for their sin and ask Christ to come into their hearts and live. We thank you today that you are ever present and you are our strength in these times of trouble. In Jesus' name, we praise you. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week, and I'll hear from you and see you next week. God bless.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.